Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
The NYPD has developed a reputation of asking forgiveness rather than permission.
Fakes, frauds, and scoundrels. Should people who lie about military service be punished?
Please define yourself using one word only.
Consistent. Courage. Resolute.
Cheerful. If you were Satan, who would you attack in this day and age?
Could it be Satan?
Well, that's some of the sound from the top stories the past 7 days. That last one wasn't. All that happened this week, though, and joining us now to talk about that, among other things, our panel of top-notch wits, social, political, pop culture, they know it all. Kai Wright is with us, the editor of Color Lines, also Farai Chidea, journalist and blogger at Farai.com, and Ron Christie, takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist. Welcome back for Friday.
Happy Friday. Happy
Absolutely. Friday. Let's begin with affirmative action, because this is a decision that Sandra Day O'Connor had said would probably last for about 25 years. It's about a decade, perhaps, less than a decade now that this court is revisiting it. And I wonder if what we're seeing here and what we've seen lately is a Supreme Court that is willing to go back and revisit decisions by earlier courts. What do you think?
Well, it's certainly striking. I can't speak to the broader question, but on the specific piece of affirmative action, it's certainly striking that they've taken this case. You know, I mean, it is a court that when you add it all up and with Justice Kagan recusing herself from this case, it does cast something of a dark cloud over affirmative action and its future. And folks who are proponents of affirmative action are deeply concerned by the fact that they've taken the case.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think that the Supreme Court has wrestled with looking at race as a qualification for several decades now. And you have a student in Texas who feels that she'd been discriminated against and that she was denied a seat at a school due to the color of her skin. And this Supreme Court has seemed, in my opinion, to be very active of revisiting prior court decisions. And it doesn't really jade me or surprise me that they're going to take it. The ramifications of this case, however, could be very, very wide felt for years to come if they decide to strike it down.
Yeah, absolutely. And it confuses me what her standing is for the case since she graduated from a university, which seems like it's difficult for her to prove harm in that particular case. But let's move on to the GOP debates, which I'm happy to say are probably done now, right?
I mean, we are done. Hallelujah.
20th and last GOP in Arizona. And at this last one, I was very interested that we finally heard a name that we have not really heard for quite some time. It was
George W. Bush, my old boss.
That's right. What does it mean that we're suddenly hearing Bush mentioned again?
Well, as much as I admire the former president, I think the context in which he came up was a negative one. You heard Senator Santorum, and I thought his worst exchange, or one of them of the night, talking about his defense of No Child Left Behind, saying, I didn't want to vote for it. It was against my principles. I took one for the team. That was the Bush administration's
bill.
That's where
he got booed.
Yes, and the crowd booed, and they reacted visibly. So while I think the former president has been very quiet and very obscure post-presidency, I think it's a reminder of saying to folks, well, I'm not George W. Bush.
Right, yeah. And Farai, do you see George W. Bush getting mentioned the closer we get to the general election?
It's a real hot potato still, his presidency, because if people really analyze the Bush presidency, they will see the roots of the economic decline that the country is trying to climb out of. And I don't think anybody really wants to go there. Also, George W. Bush started the bank bailout. He started the bailout of the car companies. And so a lot of the things that President Obama gets criticized for were set off during the Bush era. So I don't know how many Republicans are really going to want to go there.
All right. Well, there was another name that got mentioned. It has been mentioned recently, and that is the name of the Dark Lord, right? Satan has come into the political debate. You know, Kai, you got to wonder, as these candidates tack further to the right, not just in politics, but in religion as well, how that was going to change the debate once we get closer to the general election. Is this something that will only be discussed during the primaries, do you think?
Well, certainly, if Mitt Romney is the candidate, it will cease immediately. I think what was striking about it to me, though, is, throughout this campaign season, really going all the way back to 2008, we're seeing this the gulf between the huge cultural gulf between evangelical Christians, whether they be Catholic or Protestant, and other folks, and the way they talk about the world and the way they think about the world. And to bring up Satan is not a strange and bizarre thing in those circles. It's not. It is, in fact, casual conversation.
But Rick Santorum's not evangelical.
Well,
he's Catholic.
You can be evangelical and Catholic, and I think he is, in fact, of an culturally evangelical.
Well, see, here's my problem with all this. The genesis of this conversation should be laid at the feet of one Barack Obama. The president was the one who brought up the contraceptive issue. The president was the one who brought this issue to the fore. He ignited a lot of passion and a lot of emotion from the folks, not only from the Catholic Church, from a lot of different people. And again, it was the media who dug out this soundbite from Rick Santorum talking about Satan several years ago. So if you want to look at the genesis of why we're having this silly conversation when this country is $15 trillion in debt, faces a war potentially in Iran that could ignite in the Middle East, you need to look at President Barack Obama and say, this is the fellow who decided to pick this fight.
Well, Ron, I don't think I personally would put the media way ahead of Barack Obama. I mean, Barack Obama was being a politician. That's what politicians do. Now, journalism, yes, sometimes we do dig up things that are a little bit of a tangent. But I do, you know, even then, in terms of digging out the Satan comment, I grew up in a Catholic household. I no longer practice Catholicism, but I have a deep respect for Catholics and for, you know, people who practice it. But the reality is, in a pluralistic society, you have to remember that when people talk about the founding fathers and religion, they often talk about it as if the founding fathers endorsed religion. In fact, what they were endorsing is the ability to practice your religion but not bring it into the public sphere. We live in a country that was built on the idea that no matter what you believe, you could believe it, but you did not have to put it into government. I think that's fair game.
All right. Well, maybe it wasn't Barack Obama or Rick Santorum that's responsible. Maybe.
Could it be
You had to go there, didn't you?
I had to.
You had to.
Let's talk a little bit about Citizens United. And I have to wonder, looking at what's going on, the fact that we got headlines this week saying that they're actually super PACs are pulling in more donations than the actual candidates. You have to wonder at this point, with the number of people saying repeal Citizens United, which is not accurate, I grant you, but have the super PACs overplayed their hand? Will this lead to a legislative push to change Citizens United?
Well, certainly the Democrats hope so. I mean, that's the idea, is to create a legislative push. But, I mean, you know, this is where it was headed. You know, I mean, in one analysis of Citizens United, it's not about the super PACs overplaying their hand, that this is the natural outcome of that decision. This is where it goes.
I think that's right. I think that given the new parameters of what that decision has allowed individuals and corporations and labor unions to do, this is the natural nexus of it. And President Obama was the one who said, I don't like super PACs. I don't believe in them. But now the president's established one. I think the Democrats are going to do anything that they can to keep the presidency and to try to retake the Congress. And I think super PACs is going to be – that's going to be one vehicle that they might employ.
I mean, to the degree that super PACs exist, to the degree that that's the game we're playing, I think the president would be a fool not to have one.
Exactly, you know. Right.
Yeah. Farai?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the question for me is always, there's twofold. One is, what can be done this election cycle? I'm not sure how much. Secondly, in the long run, where is the muscle going to come in terms of popular outrage? A lot of people feel disempowered by the system. They're not going to stand up and fight for this. People who are more activist-minded may fight for it, but I think what's going to be the task is to mobilize ordinary citizens, and that's what Stephen Colbert has been trying to do.
Who has just joined hands with Nancy Pelosi in her disclosure law. But let's talk about one last thing before we go, and this is something, Kai, that you brought, Kai Wright, which is this controversial video from Too Short. Maybe you could describe exactly what happens in this video.
A 45-year-old rapper promoting his 19th album makes a video for XXL.com in which he advises teenage boys, middle school boys, to stop seeking kisses from girls and instead do things that I won't repeat on the radio.
Sexual assault, that's basically what it is.
That add up to sexual assault. Many people considered it a how-to for sexual assault. I think what was striking was not just Too Short, but the reaction within the hip-hop community to folks who said, this is inappropriate. And it started a rather heated conversation that's still going on about what is an appropriate way to talk about women.
Especially coming on top of the whole Chris Brown thing and performing
at the Grammys. Particularly coming on top of the whole Chris Brown thing. And so, to Too Short's credit, he and a famed hip-hop writer and activist, Dream Hapton, had a tete-a-tete, and he came out of that and said this week, you know, I've learned, my eyes are open, I was wrong, I shouldn't be talking about women this way. But I think there's a broader conversation to be had in the community.
And as always, we want to get our listeners involved in broader conversations. Our famed three, Kai Wright, editor of Color Lines, Farai Today, a journalist and blogger at Farai.com, Ron Christie, takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist. Happy Friday.
Have a great weekend. Thanks, everybody. Of course, we want to hear from you about a previous conversation we had on obesity and the drug Qnexa. Is it worth having a pill to solve the obesity problem? Can a pill solve the obesity problem? Or do we need to do more about diet and exercise and what we eat in this country? We want to hear from you at 8778-MY-TAKE. You can post to the website, of course, at thetakeaway.org. I'm Todd Zwillick.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.